It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We are 1 month and a day into the historical partial government shutdown. We see Senate Republicans who seem to be in lockstep, standing by President Trump's demand for $5.7 billion to build a border wall. But about 800,000 federal workers have been forced to go unpaid leave or work without pay since December 22nd, and there is mounting pressure. So where are you on this deadlock? How do you think the stalemate will end? Are you on furlough? Are you a federal worker who's been working without pay? How has this affected your life and your family's life? Has it put you behind on rent or your mortgage? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's bring in Laura Brown, who is watching this shutdown closely. She's an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Laura, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me on this morning.
So over the weekend, President Trump said he's willing to offer temporary protections for some undocumented immigrants in return for the $5.7 billion in funding for this border wall. What do we know about the specifics of this plan, this latest plan?
Well, what we know is that the Democrats have said this is certainly not sufficient in terms of a compromise or a proposal. This is really a discussion about President Trump reinstating a temporary protection that he had, in fact, repealed. So the Democrats do not see this as really moving the ball forward at all. You know, if he were perhaps going to be talking about permanent protections for the Dreamers and a path to citizenship, there might be some place to talk. But as of now, this proposal of the president's, while it is going forward into the Senate, supposedly for a vote today, we don't imagine that Democrats are going to break away or support it.
So this was essentially a non-starter for Democrats.
Yes, it was absolutely. Most Democrats heard the specifics and said it was dead on arrival. I believe Speaker Pelosi had tweeted that what was new was not good and that what was unoriginal was essentially, you know, the same as has always been. So she was much more thoughtful in her tweet than I was in describing it, but she did essentially immediately respond to the notion that this was just not a proposal that Democrats were enthusiastic about.
What is the tension like? I mean, you're there in Washington. What do you see around Capitol Hill and this tension between federal workers who are caught in the middle and then the politicians and the lawmakers on Capitol Hill?
Well, so many of the federal workers that are affected by this are all over the country. You know, we've seen many images of our TSA workers at the airports all over the country being expected to report and do their job even though they're not being paid. And in Washington, D.C. itself, you know, the streets are relatively quiet. There is not the usual traffic because those who are here and are furloughed are not essentially reporting to work. And then you have a sense of exasperation, I think is the appropriate word, among partisans on both sides of the aisle, mostly just exasperation with the fact that this was assumed to be a decision that was decided before the holidays and even before the swearing in of the new Congress in January, and yet the president changed his mind after Rush Limbaugh and the conservative base suggested that he was selling out his border wall promise.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had said that the Senate would, as you said, take up President Trump's immigration plan very soon. So what do you see happening with this legislation in the Senate? Will it go anywhere? And what role has Senator Mitch McConnell played in the shutdown and in the negotiations?
Well, I think this is what's so interesting is how much Senator Mitch McConnell has taken really a back seat to President Trump. He did, prior to the holiday break, bring bills forward that were essentially a continuing resolution on some of the departments, but it did also provide about $1.3 billion in border wall funding, really more border security issues than the wall itself. And that did pass the Senate. And then what we saw was President Trump say, I won't sign that bill, after McConnell had brought it to the floor and it had passed. And then we saw the then Speaker Ryan-led House essentially not move on those Senate proposals and instead put forward a different set of bills, which was the president's bill, which then never got taken up in the Senate. And now here we are, fast forward another month, and what we have is the House that is now being led by Speaker Nancy Pelosi having passed many of those same bills that had made it through the Senate before the holidays. They are awaiting Senate floor hearings. They are not going to get them because Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, has said, since President Trump won't sign them, I'm not bringing them forward.
Laura Brown is talking us through the politics of the partial government shutdown. She's an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. What is your situation like? Are you a federal worker who has been working without pay as a result of the shutdown? How has this impacted your life and your family's life? Are you upset that border security is the issue that's made this the longest government shutdown in history? Or do you think this is a worthy cause to fight for? How and when do you think the stalemate will end? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Laura, Bill from Green Lake emailed in to say, congressional Republicans need to stop being a doormat for the president and override a veto if necessary. As you look at both parties, how important is it that they, quote, win the shutdown, so to speak?
Well, I do think that one of the things your caller is bringing up is a really important point, and that is that the Congress is not supposed to just do the president's bidding. We have a system where we have a separation of powers and checks and balances. And what you would have expected in prior times that were not so dominated by the partisan polarization is that the Congress would have done its work. They would have found their own compromises and their own legislation that would have passed both chambers, and then they would have presented it to the president and said basically what the Congress can do to a president, take it or leave it, and then the president can either veto or sign. But there really has been a sense that the Republicans in Congress have been protecting this president from having to issue a veto.
Sounds like there is confusion on Capitol Hill, and there seems like the normal processes of legislation and how things move to the president is been upended, perhaps.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's confusion. What it really is about the fact that our two political parties now represent very diverse constituencies, and the majority of Republicans are in favor of building this border wall, and so those Republicans in Congress are adamant about standing by the president, even though they know that it is hurting them in some of the more moderate places, namely the suburbs, and some of those other independent Americans who are not so interested in this being the number one priority.
Laura Brown, how has public opinion played into this? What do the polls tell us?
Well, the polls do show that the two parties are about as far apart as you could possibly get. And we have a situation where Senator Mitch McConnell is running for re-election in Kentucky in 2020. And so as majority leader, someone who could try to fashion some sort of compromise, he is really standing behind President Trump because President Trump is much more popular in Kentucky than even he is.
Do you think that is essentially what is in the way of Republicans speaking out against the president? Is everyone in a Mitch McConnell situation here, or are there other reasons why we see Republicans in lockstep with the president?
Well, it really does have to do with the polarization in our parties. I mean, if you ask Americans, are you in favor of the border wall? The majority of Americans are actually not. But when you break out those sort of answers by political party, what you see is that the majority of Republicans are in favor of building this border wall. They're in favor of the president's proposal for $5.7 billion. The majority of Democrats are against it, and independents lean against it, but they are not sort of solidly or really in a large way against it. So what you have is a situation where the Republicans are playing to their base. The Democrats are certainly playing to their base, but the middle of the country, or those who identify as independent, are siding with the Democrats. So this is where it seems like the president and the Republicans are far outside the mainstream.
Talking with Laura Brown as our guide to the partial government shutdown, getting your thoughts as well at 800-642-1234. We'll get back to the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us on the morning show as we talk shutdown. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell plans to move ahead on President Trump's latest offer to Democrats. It calls for temporary protections for some immigrants in exchange for billions of dollars in wall money, as well as legislation to reopen the government. Nearly all Republicans have indicated they would back it. Congressional Democrats have rejected the proposal outright and have refused to negotiate with the president until the government is reopened. So what broader effect do you think the shutdown will have on the country? Do you think this could affect the level of confidence Americans have in our system of government? Do you worry about a ripple effect to the rest of the world? Call in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Laura Brown stays with us. She directs the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Let's go to the phones now with Patricia joining us from Madison. Hi, Patricia.
Good morning. I have two comments. One of them, I think this federal layoff of the employees would be settled soon if the cooks and cleaning personnel exited the White House. Secondly, we can't forget that Senator McConnell's wife, I think her name is Elaine Chao, is a cabinet member for Trump, and maybe he doesn't want to act against the president for fear that she will have to leave his cabinet.
Patricia, thanks for your call. Laura Brown, on that first note, what if the cooks and cleaning crew left the White House?
Well, actually, that is part of the reason why the president served fast food to the Clemson football team. Last week it was, when they were celebrating their national championship. Part of what is going on is that we do have funding for certain things because this is a partial government shutdown. So not everything is closed, but it is impacting about 800,000 workers, about 400,000 of whom are furloughed, and another 400,000 are being asked to report to work without being paid. And obviously, we are approaching the end of another pay period, and it is true that the government would need to open by tonight if federal workers were to get their paychecks this week. So there is a great deal of pressure on the system in the sense that federal workers are making their representatives well aware of the hardships they're enduring.
The president had implied that he might be willing to declare a national emergency in order to get funds for a border wall, especially if his latest proposal to Congress fails. So what does that scenario look like? What would a national emergency on the border actually mean?
Well, I think it would be very difficult for the president to argue that there is a national emergency. I mean, one of the things that is true is border crossings have dropped dramatically. We have seen the number of essentially individuals coming into the country illegally overall also dropping dramatically in the last decade. It's also the case that the president himself said that he would be declaring a national emergency if the Democrats basically don't agree to a deal. Well, that's not any sort of legal reason for a national emergency. So we imagine that it, were the president to try it very quickly, you would see this held up in a court of law.
And is that the possible consequences of taking this path, is that it would be subject to litigation?
Yes, and I think that's why the president has not pursued it. I mean, I think it was simply a threat, but it was, in his mind at least, something that was legitimate that he could, in fact, do. Many Republicans are against it. I think, as Senator Marco Rubio even mentioned, you know, Republicans, you should really think about this, because what if there were a Democratic president in the next administration who decided to declare climate change a national emergency? So this is one of those situations where where both parties are very well aware of the precedents they set.
Let's bring in another call. Let's go to Patrick, joining us from Richland County. Patrick, hi.
Hey, good morning. Great show. I have a question for your guest, and this is simply, the wall is foolish. Just about everybody knows that. So to control immigration, these people are coming in for jobs because there's nothing where they're coming from. It's been destroyed because of, well, sometimes U.S. policy. But anyway, why not have it so that if you're an employer, creator, as the Republicans were calling them a while ago, and you get caught employing people without the proper paperwork for citizenship, then the employer's in quite a bit of trouble. And why isn't that seriously looked at? I mean, the state paper a while ago had a major story about the farmers saying, hey, what are we going to do if our illegal help isn't able to help us out anymore? So what's up with that? And thank you so much for this show.
So what about putting more of a burden on employers to ensure they have their paperwork together?
Well, what's actually sort of ironic and tragic about this shutdown is, in fact, the verification system by which employers verify the legality of their employees right now is also sort of operating at the most minimal level or almost shut down because there are not employees there to work with those employers who need to verify their employees.
You're talking about E-Verify?
That's correct. So it is a really fascinating situation in that this shutdown is, in fact, making our border security worse at the moment, because obviously our Border Patrol agents, many of them are working without pay. There are these other systems that are delayed or not fully operational. That being said, it is important to also realize that many of the immigrants who are here illegally have simply overstayed their visas. So part of the reason why, when you start talking about border security, really border security means making sure that we have an understanding of where people are in the country who have come to this country as either a visitor or a temporary worker. And that's part of the reason why technology plays such a role. And yes, it's true that cracking down on employers who hire immigrants who do not have the appropriate documentation is something that is important to be done. Part of the problem, though, is so much of that happens at the small business level, and it happens through a cash economy, and it happens in a way in which no one is really fully tracking it.
So, Laura, we've talked about the forces driving the president. We've looked at why Republicans and Democrats can't get together on this issue and figure out how to deal with the shutdown. How much longer do you think this impasse could last?
Sadly, I don't know that anyone knows. I hesitate at this point to even speculate. I had thought that we would be out of this a long time ago, but it does appear as though Senate Republicans are sticking with the president, and it certainly, Democrats have every reason to stand by Speaker Pelosi given the last election's results. So we are in very much a gridlock situation and a stalemate.
And as we just a few seconds left here, any scenario that would look plausible here to get us out of this, any type of scenario?
Well, I agree with your caller. I actually think the Congress should do its work, and they should test whether or not there is a veto and the potentiality of a veto override. In other words, I think that our process is much better than our people in it, and I think that our representatives should abide by the process and not just their partisanship.
Laura, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Laura Brown is an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're with us for The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.